Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody is doing great and having a wonderful, wonderful week. This is another episode of Beyond a Different World, and I am your host, Fred Hodges, which I am the Director of Multicultural Student Services here at Robert Morris University. And as always, we open it up with a little words of encouragement. And this week, I decided to do something that I posted a few weeks ago, and that is, if you live for compliments, you would die over criticism. The reason why that being is, you know, if you live for compliments, no matter what you do, just keep in mind and know that you're doing that for a reason. And there are no mistakes. There's only lessons. So you learn from the things that you do, and you learn from, you know, the different ways and different avenues that you take. You're always learning. You always learning. And so stop thinking about what others think about you. And stop thinking to yourself like, okay, if I do this, what would this person think of me if I do that? Or what would this person think of me if I do this? Know that what you're doing is for a reason. And that very reason is to better yourself, whether it works in your favor or not. And things may not come when you want them, but they'll be there right on time. All right? And without further ado, this is a very special episode. We have the very own Pastor Giles, Pastor Giles of Triumph Ministries. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Frank?
I'm doing well, doing very well. Pastor Giles is, you know, not only the pastor of the Triumph Baptist Church in Swickley, PA, but he's also the president for Campus Ministries here at Robert Morris University. And you have many hats, and also spin instructor, and he leads discussions and Bible studies, and mentor to many of our students here on campus. The man literally has a lot of hats. So tell the people about a few of the things that you have going on.
Well, I think things that I have going on right now, just for campus purposes, is being president of campus ministry and trying to do the things that enhance the spiritual life of the students. I also participate in a number of different organizations on different boards. Also, one of the things that we're going to have fun with, hopefully later on in the year, is that I will be a spin instructor on campus on Thursdays. I happen to be the husband of a great wife who is already on campus, who serves as the administrative assistant to the president over here, President Howard.
Nice.
And I'm blessed to be the pastor of Triumph Church. And, we built that church about 3 years ago. And,
wow.
And it's been nice being here. I've been on campus for about 14 years. My dear friend who I always will speak of, Dr. Crowley, was one of the first persons I met when I came over here. And it's just been great serving at Robert Morris. I've had a great time.
Definitely. Nice, nice. Being the president of Campus Ministries, you are working along with other pastors, other people who do ministry, other individuals who have, different beliefs, different creators whom, they worship or have a relationship with. And how does that work with the coexisting with other organizations?
Well, one thing that's nice about campus ministry is we do have different representations of religions,
yes,
and faiths on campus. And, coming together, one of the things that we have to recognize is that we may not all agree on the same thing, but one thing that we do is we recognize that there's a lot of common ground.
Mm.
And common ground is we believe in God. We believe in the spiritual nature of man, that there's a God hole in us, that something has been placed in us because we believe that there is a creator of the universe. But we also recognize principles of love. Principles of the fellowship or the brotherhood of humanity,
mm-hmm.
How we can work together, how do we grow better spiritually, how do we better serve as stewards on this planet. We all believe in prayer, we believe in peace, we believe in those main principles that help to promote not only a spiritual society, but a pluralistic society, which we have to deal with, and hopefully which will get better in America. So it's great working because... even though I believe what I believe, that does not make me better and that does not make me worse. That makes me still equal to at least be able to have conversation with you.
Certainly.
And how can we make this land where we have to abide, how can we make that a little better?
Nice. So
that's one of the joys. And then how can we serve the students? Because that's what we're about. on campus ministry. How can we enhance the spiritual life of all students? You know, although I am not Muslim, how do I help the students so that they can worship and they can fellowship and they can enjoy their relationship with God? Although I'm not Jewish, how can that happen? So we all work together to do those things. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice because I think we have less hang-ups than the people that watch us.
Nice. That's awesome. that is awesome. You have a spirituality week this week, correct?
Yes, we have spirituality week occurring this week.
Okay. Would you mind just, you know, telling everybody about a few of the events that you have coming up?
Sure. Spirituality week, what we want to do is we want to enhance the awareness of the spirituality and also the need for spirituality in your life. Mm. One of the things that you and I, we were talking earlier,
yes,
is that it's so important to have balance. We lose the balance in life. You know, we come and we're good at this or we're good at that, and we don't realize that we are, in a sense, I always say, trichotomous beings, you know, that we're spirit, body, and soul. So, you know, you have to feed all of those parts of your nature as well as your social aspect of life. I'm not one who's just lives in a vacuum. So I believe that, you know, you've got to take care of your spiritual life. You need your relationships proper. You need to take care of your health. You need to make sure you have social outlets, and you need to keep yourself in balance. The intellectual aspect of university is really good, but if you're all intellectual and you're not taking care of your spirit, or you're all social and you're not taking care of the other balances, then what happens is you get out of balance and you are kind of a distorted individual.
Wow.
So when Spirituality Week is just to hopefully enhance the understanding of the spiritual nature of you and also what's available for you on campus.
Mm.
So what we're doing on tonight, we started with prayer last week. We had a prayer box, and all of the students were coming past, as well as teachers dropping off. Hey, say, you know, pray for me. And that lets you know that people do understand the spirituality aspect, because as soon as something goes wrong or as soon as a need arises, God help me. Okay.
Yeah.
so you know, even though we don't, you know, want to always identify it, because, you know, there are also responsibilities with it.
Yes.
We still know that we need, there's a God hole in us that has to be filled.
Mm.
So Spirituality Week, had the prayer last week. What we're doing tonight is there's movie night, and they'll be showing, I don't know if they're showing the specific movie or not. One of the ones we were talking about was The Shack. I don't know if you saw that. It's a really good movie. So they're going to have that and to talk, and I believe that that's going to be up at the chapel.
Okay.
And then on tomorrow, we're going to have Spiritual Family Feud.
Mm.
I get to be Steve Harvey, okay?
All right, now.
Me and Wayne Jackson. Wayne is another great pastor I really enjoy. We have that relationship. And also what I like about some of campus ministry is we get a chance to break down racial barriers as well. So visiting one another's churches and doing things together like that. So he and I are going to do that. Hopefully we have, I asked for a number of the organizations on campus to submit their information. We're going to be giving away prizes if you win today.
Nice.
And then on Thursday, we have the championship round where everyone will receive a new Ford. No, I'm just joking.
You see my eyes get big? I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. I could use that.
If we were playing, I'd be playing for that.
Okay? Hey, right?
But on Thursday, we do finalize with that. We're going to do it, and it's going to be between 11:30 and 12:30.
Okay.
Downstairs in the cafe.
Nice.
Okay. And then on to Wednesday evening, we have a bonfire. And a little bonfire, and we'll be that'll be represented with some of the campus ministry members. They'll be taking, I think that's between, it starts at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have a little bonfire, and they'll have some nice refreshments and chocolate, hot chocolate and things like that. Then we're going to have Thirsty Thursday night starting at 6 o'clock. And
you want to explain that?
We're going to have a keg. A keg of root beer.
Okay.
And we'll have some pizza and things like that, and that'll be down for students to just come through and to just get to know us and to also maybe have questions. Last year it was nice to have some really interesting questions.
Awesome.
And I believe in answering questions. I like addressing the difficult questions or the the questions that everybody may not have the perfect answer for, but here's what I believe that you're asking, and here's a presentation. Now let's continue the dialogue.
I got you.
So
okay.
So we're doing that, and we, like I said, we close it off on Thursday, and we'll be hopefully getting to that. Will and maybe enhance or cause some more dialogue to take place as the weeks and months go on campus and the things that we're doing.
Nice. So it's a great opportunity to not only promote what campus ministry does, but it's a way for students, faculty, staff, and even community people as well to look for an outlet to express themselves.
Yes.
Look for an outlet to express themselves and to talk about anything that they're dealing with difficulty or
yes.
or anything that, you know, they need prayer for or just, you know, finding their source of, I would say, guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And especially in times, I mean, you know what's going on in society today.
Right.
People want answers for things. I mean, we keep having disasters. The attacks that took place, the earthquakes that had place, the hurricanes, so all these things. People would like to have a little bit of, hey, you know what, how's this make sense? You know, because that's what we're looking for. We're trying to make sense of it. And sometimes through those dialogues, I may not be able, or we may not, as campus ministry or in the leaders, we may not be able to explain and give you an answer that's a wonder. Well, this took place because, you know, this hypothesis occurred and so forth. So, but this is why this is going on. And you can still have some peace and direction and vision and still hope outside of what's occurring, because that's not the end of life. That is just an occurrence in life. You learn from that, you build on that, and how can I now go forth and make things better?
Wow, wow. In a world of negativity, you have to find that spark of positivity and take it and spread it.
Yes, yes. And it seems like that's what you're doing when, you know, even on this show, you know, for how you start off and what you talk about. And even when we, and I know this is not part of what we were talking about, but, you know, even when we talk, you're always trying to remind the student, remind campus, hey, you know what, you know, anybody can see what's wrong. It
yes.
doesn't take much to see what's wrong. But can you work and do something to make what's right? Or can you put together teams? Can you take your effort? Because everybody has the skill set to take the one gift that they have, or the two gifts they have, or the ability they have, and change the world. And we change the world one life at a time.
Yes.
That's all we have to do. And if we do our part, each individual does their part, that's what makes the change. You know, to me, that's what makes everything better. But if everybody sits back and says, ah, it's bad, and this is not happening, and it's, okay, well, you know, it doesn't take much to identify that.
Exactly. And like I always say, you know, we're all planted seeds of greatness within us. And it's up to us to literally take care of that seed and whether or not we want it to grow.
Right.
Three ingredients: light, soil, water.
There you go.
And it is so easy to sit and, you know, complain and, well, why is this happening or why is that happening or I don't agree with this or I don't agree with that and that's dumb and this is dumb. But what are we doing in order to make change?
I agree. I believe that we are people of purpose. This incident of me being here is no accident. I believe that there's purpose. Now, if there's purpose, then there's value in my purpose. What am I to fulfill?
Yes.
I mean, what am I to do with the allotment of time now? My time might be, you know, happens to be right now, I'm a little over 50. Okay, I ain't going to go straight into the dates. But I'm over 50. But you know what? If I was only allotted 42 years, or I was only allotted 27 years, unfortunately, you know, I'm my last sibling of my mother's children alive. Mm-hmm. My brothers and sisters died younger than me. But during that allotment of time, what was I supposed to fulfill? What was my purpose for that? What do I do with that?
Yes.
And to me, I do something that is, as a steward, I should leave things a little better than I found them. You know, I should contribute or put something more. If I came into a relationship with Fred, then I should maybe have, Fred should have a little bit more, or I helped him blossom a little bit more because I helped him be better than when I found him. And to me, that's the philosophy. That's what spirituality does. That's what Christianity does. Christianity is not of what you can gain. Christianity is usually what you can give.
Yes. Most definitely. And it's so because of the simple fact, I host Real Talk Shops with the students.
Okay.
And, you know, it's so easy for us to get into these discussions or get into these debates about relationships and, you know, love and lust and the whole nine. But when it comes to topics such as purpose,
okay,
it's quiet. And the reason why it's quiet is because a lot of them are like, okay, yeah, we're too young to know what our purpose is. Or some don't even know what the purpose is at all. So how can I spread that message to the students to let them know that, you know, we all have a purpose in life to do great things beyond measures, but how can I guide them towards finding what their purpose is?
That's a good question, Fred. I remember teaching my children, you know, because my children happen to be grown. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I always tried to let them know is I tried to lead them in vision. I tried to have a vision for their life a little bit. You know, now I looked at their skills and I looked at their talents and what they liked and how well. Everybody has something that they do well. And you need to identify what you're good at, because usually God calls your purpose around what you are skilled and talented in. Mm. And then you find that you have a gift. One of the things that helped me a lot, I was in college, went to IUP. IUP. It was Indians, now they're Crimson. But I went to IUP, and in my sophomore year, I did a lot of the things to make sure that I, student government, tried to make sure that we had the vans and things like that. But we had to spend time. One day, Ms. Credit Scott King was one of our speakers.
Wow.
And so she came up, and she was there, and some of us, there were 11 of us, and she told us, she said, "Before I go on, I want to sit and talk with y'all." And she talked with us, and she told us, and she kind of read us the riot act, okay? Mm. I come to Jesus meeting. Okay,
oh, wow.
Like, y'all on this campus, and I expect y'all to do something because y'all have greatness within you. I mean, she dropped some seeds in our spirit that was like, whoa, okay? You know, because we were caught up in the moment and caught up what we were doing and caught up in who we were.
Right.
But when she dropped those things, and it totally changed, because she helped us understand you've got purpose. You are here with a destined cause to take forward. And it made us really start focusing on, okay, what am I really supposed to do? Now, that didn't mean that we stopped going to parties, and it didn't mean that we stopped all sports activities or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it kind of put a baseline for us to start to move forward on. So I would say, you know, from a purpose standpoint, remind each individual, hey, it's not what you look like, it's what you got inside of you that you can bring out. Mm. It's not where you came from. I came from, unfortunately, it came from a broken home and some very bad history. But, you know, God, some reason, told me, here's what I want you to do, and you can do it. And you watch doors unfold, people pouring into your life, like you're doing with the mentoring and what we're doing with Collegiate 100 and things of that nature. Yes. All of those things. Some people came and poured in something and saw something there, because they affirm what your purpose is in a lot of times.
Wow.
And so I would say to some of the students and some of the people listening, hey, you know what? Find out what you are great at.
Mm.
Stand still. Don't compare yourself, because the comparison is not what's important. What somebody does great over there is just a piece of the puzzle. They might be fixing the edges of the puzzle, but you might be the meat in the middle. And I think that's what's important.
Wow. There it is. You heard it first. It's basically everything that I have been saying. You know, the U in success is uniqueness. The U in success is uniqueness. We all have like that greatness within us.
I agree with you. Yeah.
We do. You know, we are all here to do great things beyond our measures. We are here to do wonderful, marvelous things, to be the change that we wish to see in the world. But however, it's up to us in order to create that door of opportunity. You know, like the saying goes, if the doors of opportunity does not open, it's up to us to build it and then open it.
That's right.
If there's one door of opportunity that does not open up, we can build a new one.
I agree. My grandmother said something so unique. I mean, she was, you know, older lady, but she said, you know, if folk won't let you take the elevator, take the steps.
Mm.
Okay? But find a way to the top.
Exactly.
That's what you've got to do. You know, I mean, there's always going to be obstacles. Obstacles are there to strengthen your character.
Yes.
Because your character needs to be developed. You might have the greatest gifts in the world, but if you don't have character, because your character will diminish your gift, saved if you don't work on your character. So it's through the ups and the trials or the difficulties. You know, I like to laugh, you know, everybody, I'm a tea toddler. I like tea, but you know, a tea bag doesn't come into its own until it gets through a little bit of hot water, and then it becomes tea, and it changes everything around it because the tea bag changes the whole constitution of the water, and it's because of the difficulty of the hot water, and that builds the character. So I believe that that's a very important thing. So hey, if everything's not working right, that's all right. You know, that's when the dreams come. You know, and don't limit your dreams.
Right.
You know, you were saying that earlier. You know, hey, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean you can't make it happen.
Exactly. Exactly. And I like the tea analogy because of the simple fact that with the tea analogy, I'm a tea person as well.
There you go. That's
and
good.
I love tea, and I'm addicted to tea, and I have been, I've now been drinking loose tea without the tea bags, and so even when you put the loose tea in the filter, and the hot water hits the tea leaves expand.
Yes.
So it's like you have this, you know, you have the hot water, which is scorching hot, it hurts. You know, you put your hand in it, you're going, you're gonna back right out of it. But when something that can cause pain, it goes into something such as a tea leaf, and you see that tea leaf expand. So if you think about it, that pain that you're going through is going to help you expand.
I agree. It's the irritants in life sometimes. You know, I mean, you don't get a pearl from an oyster. It's because a little piece of sand got inside of there and causes an irritant. And that irritant caused a pearl to form inside of that oyster. And that's what, you know, sometimes the best things, you know, if you read and you really examine, many people have come and done great things through their pain.
Yes.
It is through the experience of the pain. Not that they carried the pain, not that they used it, but they used it as a launching pad.
Most definitely.
Let them know, hey, you know what, this is not fatal and this is not final. This is just an occurrence to make me stronger. And so now I started off as that little acorn, but now I grow into an oak.
Right.
And I can do some amazing things as an oak.
Nice. And it's like, you know, I'm somebody who came over depression. Okay. And, you know, I'm not saying that for like, oh, Fred, you came over depression. Congratulations. Or I'm not looking for any type of pity or anything like that. It's because of the simple fact that I utilized my depression in order to first overcome it and next become stronger from it, where I developed my saying, our deepest struggles are our greatest teachers.
Okay.
Because the struggle that we go through is helping us learn.
Okay.
You know, and I'm a man of many analogies. So it's like to training, you know, you do that first push-up. Push-up is going to hurt. It is going to hurt, and you may be sore the next day.
Right.
But however, you keep at it, and you stay consistent, which is one of the C's in success, consistency.
Right.
You stay consistent, you will eventually grow, and you'll become stronger.
And you can use that as a platform, too, because you know what? You're also able to take your – I think people so much – we try to hide that we have difficulties. Because you know what? But I can't have a conquest without a contest. And so that contest, that thing that I had to go through, now it's made me stronger, but also it gives me a platform to speak to you and let you know, hey, you know what? Here's some of the things that I did, and this is what I was going through. Hey, maybe this helps to get you through that, because we're all struggling with something. And that's one thing, that's why I think it's so important that we don't put each other down as much as we put each other, because no matter who you run into, everybody's struggling with something.
Yes.
Everybody's fighting some type of battle. But we take that, use that. I like what you said, it's about the push-up, you know, and that gives us a nice chance to advertise our spin class, because, you know, the first three classes, they're going to hurt a little bit. You're going to be sore until you develop that muscle, okay?
Yes.
So you can get a jail seat all you want, but you need to develop that muscle, okay? But after that third class, then you'll start rolling.
Correct.
And it's the same way with life sometimes. Hey, you know, the hardest part is getting started.
Exactly.
But once you get started,
it's easy. It's easy. And, you know, we talked about balance.
Right.
You know, we talked about balance because knowing your balance is a good thing, because too much of anything is bad for you.
I agree.
You know, too much of anything is bad for you. So, I'm a man of many hats, and I've dealt with many people from all walks of life. And, you know, you and I, we discussed about, you know, balance earlier. And, you know, you yourself, you're a man of many hats, many statues. How do you handle your balance? And then I'll go in and say a few things that I do.
Okay. One of the things that I do, there's an analogy that was done by a professor, and what he does is he asks the class, he says, he comes out with this glass jar, and he has this glass jar, and he has these big rocks, and he drops these big rocks in, and he asks the class, can anything else get in there? And they say, no, and then he comes with some smaller pebbles, and he drops those in there, and then they start to fill it up, and he says, well, can anything fill it up? And he says, no, and he takes sand, and he pours the sand in, and the sand goes in between the rocks and between the pebbles, and he says, can anything else get in there? And he says, they say no, and then he takes water and pours water on it, and then it starts overflowing. But when they initially saw it, they couldn't see anything else. But what he said by that, he said the big things that you see are the priorities that you ought to have in your life. And those things ought to go in your glass first. But oftentimes, we put the water in before we put the priorities in. So we put the less important things in and wonder why we don't have time to balance our life with the important things. So what me, as one, my first thing is my love for God. First, spirituality. I need that spiritual balance. My second is my family. Family is so important. I have to have that. But I also need that rejuvenation time. I need some time to rejuvenate my body. I need recreation and socialization and that. And those other outlets, and you pull those together. But if you're just, if I'm just all spiritual and I don't have time for social, then I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. Or if I'm all caught up in just partying, you know, I've been married for 37 years, and my wife and I enjoy. I can't wait. I think I told you I can't wait till my daughter's getting married and the reception, because I can dance with my wife and we're gonna dance and have a great time.
Nice.
You know? But I think that that's balance. I think you got to have fun, and I think Jesus taught that. As I was telling you earlier, Jesus was a very balanced individual. He wasn't just so spiritual that he didn't do anything else. He was a social man. He also spent time in recreational activities. He's walked, he ate right. So those things all put those in place, but then you establish those things which are most important, then you add the other things. But if you got those four or five cores, then I'm healthy. I mean, and things are about being healthy. It's not about being rich. It's about being healthy.
Right.
And if you've got spiritual health, and you've got, you know, social health, and if you've got recreational health, and you've got relational health, you got those things together, everything else works better from there.
Exactly. Wow. Same way. I'm the same way. Okay. Where the most important things in my life come first. Where it's, you know, my relationship with the God and my job, and I'm currently, you know, I'm not married at the moment, but you know, once I do find, you know, a wife, that will be another important thing.
Right.
is my family, and you know, me. As I told you earlier, you know, I'm an investment.
Okay.
And I invest in myself.
Good.
So
good.
With what it is if I'm doing things socially, I'm hanging out with friends, or I am at the gym.
Right.
I'm investing in myself. Good. You know, I'm in the gym. That's my therapy. That's that's where I go and I relieve.
Cathartic.
It is. Yes, sir. It is. It's where I relieve stress. It's where I think about my day, or think about the next thing that's coming up, or, you know, think about my speeches if I have a speech that's coming up or anything like that. And I'm getting a good workout in, a good run in at the same time, and that's where I go, and I just release.
Right.
Yeah, I release.
You control your calendar.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, there's a great book called Existentialism, and it's just Essentialism, excuse me, but it just teaches you how to control your calendar. Because, you know, if you don't control your calendar, people will be glad to control it for you.
Yes.
And then you get all out of balance because you're doing these things and those things. They may be good, but sometimes good best gets sacrificed at the altar of good. And so they might not be the best things for you. And so what you have to do is control your calendar. And that you control your calendar by putting the most important things on first. If you remember, one of the things that I think it was in third or fourth grade, I don't know what they teach now, but they were teaching you organization. They tried to teach you how to be organized. you do this thing, you do this thing, you do this thing. And each year, as it built from elementary school to middle school, they tried to teach you organization so that you learn to control your calendar. Now, some of us, we were all right at doing that, and others of us, you know, hey, I just want to get out of school, okay?
Right.
You know, but that teaches you so much in how to be able to keep your life from being so chaotic.
Most definitely.
Because everything is yearning for your attention. Everything is telling you this is the most important for your life. And then when you look at other people, because if you're not sure of your purpose or everything, you're looking at them and you're evaluating them and saying, hey, you know what, maybe that's what I should be doing. But just because they're doing it, that might not fit me. You know, that's not who I am. That's that, you know, you might be an introvert and they're extrovert.
Right.
And that's not going to work for you because you got a fish basically trying to run a race.
Mm.
And you're a rabbit. That's good. I can run a race, but don't put me in the water. But don't put the fish in a race either. So you got to determine how that's going to work for you. And if you can do that, then it does relieve the stress because it's a lot easier being you than it is being the facsimile of you.
Yeah. Wow. Whew, that was deep. that was definitely deep. It's whew, wow. I lost my train of thought.
Okay. I must be talking too much. I'm gonna stop.
No. You're fine. It was just that, you know, I took heed and, you know, took in everything that you were just saying, and thank you for that because you just enlightened me. Yeah, Pastor Giles ain't here dropping jewels, everybody. Dropping jewels. And I was talking, I was speaking to one of my classes that I teach, and, you know, I was telling them the importance of a calendar and just keeping track of everything, because the more responsibilities that you're going to get, the more chaotic that your life is going to be. And, you know, they tried to argue with me, well we're free spirits, and, you know, whenever it comes, and when we handle it. And I'm just like, well, look, trust me, listen to me when I'm telling you this. You have to put it in your calendar. And nowadays, we live in a time where, you know, everything we could just put on our smartphones.
Right.
And I mean, we carry our smartphones everywhere we go anyways.
Everywhere.
So it's just like, it's to the point to where, like, if it's not on my calendar, I'll forget about it.
Right.
I would because of the simple fact that there's so much that is going on all at one time. It's just, and I'm so, you know, strict on the importance. And so it's important to me. I'll put it in my calendar.
Right.
Because I'll forget about it if it's not in my calendar, honestly.
Yeah, you have to plan.
You know.
You know, I hear people often talking about, you know, well, I'm a spiritual being. You know, I just go as God directs me. Well, you know, if you read Proverbs continually tells you to make your plan.
Right.
And then you know what? And then God will make the adjustments.
Exactly.
Okay. But you should have a plan. When I was younger, there was a saying that was, there's nothing more dangerous than a man with a plan.
Mm.
You know, because if you've got a plan, you know where you're going. You've got some direction. You know where you're at. You know where you're trying to head to. And also, you know when you're closer to that mark.
Yes.
And so, to me, that is so important. You know, and it takes a little discipline. And I think that's what people don't want to, you know, we don't like discipline and we don't want to make decisions.
Mm.
But by not making the decision, you make a decision. And sometimes we're not realizing that. If I decide not to put onto my calendar, then I've still made a decision.
Right.
So I didn't avoid deciding. I just avoided being responsible or disciplined.
Exactly. That it is. So what I also wanted to do before we run out of time is I wanted to, you know, definitely commend you on the love that we see that you have for your wife. I grew up in a single parent home, and so that aspect was missing.
Okay.
That aspect of a man and how he should treat his wife, how he should treat his queen, was missing. And, you know, just to see that, and when I hear you, and, you know, I've heard some of the sermons that you've preached, and you always mention your wife. Everything that you do, you always mention your wife. And I commend you for doing that. So thank you. A lot of us, and, you know, yourself and Mrs. Giles, you've just did a program for the National Council of Negro Women.
Yes.
Where you talked about your relationships, and you talked about relationships. And in today's time, we have a lot of individuals that have a home that's missing the relationship factor.
Okay.
So how... Can you tell us a little bit on how should we identify and define the definition of true love?
Wow, That's a of true love. Okay, yes. You know, did you sell? You know, I was watching Rapunzel with my granddaughter, so okay. I don't think I'll get true love.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of the things I would say is appreciating who each of you are, getting to know each other and not trying to change each other, being one another's encourager and promoter, seeing the best. I kind of I'm trying to answer this question because that's a powerful question, and that's three shows probably that we try to fund. I will say, you know, not having to fit a norm of what a relationship's be. You know, when I grew up, I grew up in a single parent home. I watched men that were macho men, and you know, this is what a man does and stuff, and that doesn't. That might be good for you, but that's not what a relationship is. And so I just wanted to learn, and I watched, and I read, and I talked, and I listened to my wife and find out. There's a great book, it's called The Five Love Languages, and you find out what your language is and how you relate. And then you care for their happiness. I want my wife to be happy. I enjoy when she's happy. That means I might have to make some sacrifices, but she's making the same sacrifices because we recognize we're all on the same team. No matter what happens, and you know, when you get into those arguments or debates, if you can come back to the idea that, wait, we're all on the same team. If you lose, I lose. If you win, I win. And so that, to me, is one of the essentials. Secondly, I think always just appreciating the fact that that person chose you. You know, I don't think we see that as sometimes. And I know they were guided by God or guided, if you don't believe in God, guided by fate or whatever you, but that person still chose you. And that ought to make you feel great because that person wanted to spend the rest of their life or spend their time with you. Mm-hmm. And then you see how special they are. Like my wife is that's my homie. We were friends well before we started dating. So that's my home. That's why, you know, we enjoy probably being alone sometime more than we enjoy being with people.
Nice.
But I will say true love is appreciating the person that God has sent into your life, making sure you stay fresh. We have date night. You know why you don't see me on Tuesday. We have time. We make time for each other. We try to handle our affairs. We cover each other. We protect each other from other people. And one of the things that when we have disagreements, you know, we talk about it. And we try to stay current so that we let it slide. Now, you know what, let's go someplace. Let's go, sometime we would even go to Eaton Park so that we can talk. Because we won't act a fool in public. So that's such a question. How do you find true love? I think you got to trust your heart. Look at what you want in a relationship. Make sure you got realistic expectations. Don't try to make a person something that they're not. And appreciate each day you get to hang out with them because it should make you better and not worse.
Wow.
Eliminate the drama too. Don't let other people, I'll say this, forgive me, don't let other people in your relationship. Other people don't, it was good for them, that's great.
Yeah.
But that's not my relationship. Don't let other people in your relationship.
There it is. Wow. So you heard it first. Single people, stop being marriage counsels.
yeah, you know, hey, if you've been divorced 9 times, don't tell me how to have a happy marriage.
Yeah, right. Oh man, but I definitely thank you for coming. Wanted to, you know, close it out with your words of encouragement and anything else that, you know, you would like to add or anything else that, you know, you would like going on. People, please support Spirituality
Week.
That's
what I was going to say.
Make sure you're there. Make sure you support Spirituality Week. I mean, obviously, it's a great opportunity. It's going to be a great time, and you're going to be amongst great people. So, by all means.
And come to to Family Feud. Your boy, this is your boy Steve Harvey. Okay, come to Spiritual Family Feud. You know, I guarantee you have it. It's 11:30 to 12:30 starting tomorrow. So enjoy yourself doing that. And one last thing I would say before I give the, keep yourself in balance.
You there know, you go.
And this college experience, because most colleges, enjoy this. This is fantastic. I know, you know, you got classes and all those things, but this is one of the beautiful times of your life, developing some great friendships and some tremendous relationships and some lifelong mentors, because there are people in my college life that will mentors for the rest of my life.
Yes.
So enjoy that. I'll give since you gave such a great word.
Oh, thanks.
Starting off, I'll give a mediocre one because it can't be as good as the one that you gave.
Oh, stop.
I shared something earlier today, and it is your dreams will never exceed your imagination. You can never achieve what you don't believe, but with God, all things are possible.
Mm, there it is, everybody. I hope everybody have a wonderful week. Please remember, no means next opportunity. Fail means first attempt in learning. And as long as you can look up, you can get up. I hope everybody have a wonderful, blessed week. Pastor Giles, thank you so much for coming to this show.
Thank you, Fred, man. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you more. And always remember, live your dream, everybody. Today's song of the week will be Lean On Me. You know who it is. You know what it's about. So I don't really need to go into too much detail. I'm going to let the title of the song, you know, speak for itself. Many of you have heard of it. Many of you have sung it for your graduation. So that's our song for the week. Have a great week, everybody. And when you continue on, make sure you amaze someone. Make sure you inspire someone. Make sure you encourage someone.
Good work.
Take care.
Great job, Fred.
Need somebody. to lead.